Yo, welcome.
Hello.
To the highway. Yeah. Highway. Welcome to the highway. Welcome to the highway.
But that sounds sweet in ears.
Yeah,
I hear a lot of echoes.
Welcome to the highway, fastest growing podcast in Southwest Missouri. Mm-hmm. All right, welcome. Thanks for listening. It is the Highway Crew, me, Smee, and the one and only the Bird.
Bird Nasty.
He Bird Nasty. He's here.
Hey, am I too close to the mic?
Am I
screaming red on that?
I don't think so. No, you're in the yellow, which is where I want you. It's a warning.
It's a warning.
Yeah, it's a warning.
Constantly lives in the yellow.
Yeah.
That's my life, baby.
That is his life. Smee.
What's up?
You here.
I am here.
She's here.
That's true.
With one muff on.
With one muff on.
One muff and heaven ass.
Silence, it's the Smee.
It's the return that keeps us going. Been gone way too long. Can't count all the roads we've been down. I'll keep it between the ditches till I got a parking bridge and a front window.
Yo!
Hey.
It's the Smee.
Nice tunes.
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a...
Sorry for playing the wrong song.
It's okay.
You're about to get another good tune,
I think though. That happens. You got no proof. Smee, what's up?
Nothing. I'm doing good.
Why you got one muff on? Why you one muffing?
Sometimes with the audio, there's a little bit of an echo. And today I have an echo. So I'm echoing really bad in my muffs right now.
Mm. Mm-hmm. What you didn't tell everybody is I've had the echo in my mic for like 4 or 5 episodes.
Well, you are just... Yeah. Overcome
yes
the mm-hmm. the adversities.
Yeah.
I am struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
Oof. I'm just hearing myself too much.
Okay.
And I can tell how you guys feel now.
I don't think I've ever had it.
No, before. You've never had it.
Hey.
You're all talent, baby.
You gotta treat me right.
Speaking of all talent, it's the one, it's the only, it's the Bird. Nasty.
Nice little beat, nice Dude. Little feel.
I feel like we're starting off with a lot of soul.
We soulful, baby.
I've got a lot of soul coming my way, too.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear.
Dude, what's up with that song? Tell us about it.
I'm just culture.
That's it. Yeah. Nothing about the song at all.
I'm just culture.
I'm culture.
Tell
us about the song. That's it.
Yeah,
I'm culture.
I don't know where it came from, honestly, but I started digging into his tunes, and that song's actually titled Missouri.
89 Volt?
Yeah. And I'm like, yo, sweet. I like that.
Okay.
And so started bumping to it. And it was originally supposed to be played long time ago.
Mm.
But due to my take on my intake of alcohol, I always forgot to tell you that one. So
okay. So you would forget it after several cases of Bush?
Yes, sir.
With a few whiskeys?
Yes, sir.
Which we'll talk about where you're at with your sobriety here, here in just a minute.
Yeah.
So just imagine you like sitting in the dark, tanked, listening to that song.
Tanked? What is that?
What are you talking about tanked for? What the?
Sitting in the dark, tanked.
You have to edit that out.
No.
Right?
That's a synonym for drunk.
Yeah, I know. Just the way you said it. Sitting in the dark, tanked. Tanked.
Sorry.
All right.
Hey, play your songs.
You want me to play mine?
Yeah. I mean, are we not going for you?
I don't know.
Smee, take it away. Let's see how good
Smee
does.
Give me an intro. Hey, don't be looking at my song.
Don't look.
Do the intro. You guys always
keep your freaking eyeballs to yourself.
Okay, how about this? It's a me.
Doesn't seem a minute since the Tyrolean spa had the chess bars in it. All change. Don't you know that when you play at this level, there's no ordinary venue. It's Iceland or the Philippines or Hastings or this place.
One night in Bangkok.
You guys like how I just completely ruined your soul episode?
Yeah. So much soul.
One night in Bangkok, dude.
Yeah.
That's it. You guys know why I picked that song?
Why?
I don't know. I want you to tell me why you think I picked that song.
If we're being honest?
I think your answer will be better than the actual answer.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention. I was too busy drum shooting or dancing with my fingers, my gun fingers.
So you didn't even hear the song?
No. Sorry, dude.
Okay. Well.
So ask me.
Here we are. It's me. Why did you think I picked that song?
I don't know. I think you were just like on an 80s vibe kick. That is 80s, isn't it?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I don't know. Early 90s, late 80s, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I heard it on the radio today. That's not true. I heard it on the radio yesterday, and I was jamming to it.
Why did you pick it?
Because I liked it.
Oh, okay.
And I was jamming to it.
Well, I was jamming to it. I felt like something more was coming.
No, that was it. That's what I said. I thought yours would be a better answer than the actual answer. I was just jamming.
Just jamming. I like it, though.
Yeah. All right, Bird, let's hear about your sobriety.
Dude.
Because me and the Smee are drinking right now, and you are drinking coffee.
Brother, it's been a long road.
You want to talk about how we've talked about the 8 months and what it actually may be?
Yeah, not the 8 months. It's not that far, guys. I haven't been sober that long.
Because the thought is, by the time this episode airs, it may be 8 months from now.
Yeah.
And you're talking about being sober, when in reality, you may only be sober for like 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
But people will be like, wow, he's still sober. Good. And then like the episode before, you may be talking about drinking whiskey and they're very confused as to what is actually going on.
Yeah.
Because we're recording this one pretty early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thought process on it, was that we're going to be further along in my sobriety.
We'll hit the 3 week mark, maybe?
Yeah, maybe, hopefully. But yeah, it's going good. Still not drinking. I see a whole bunch of good looking whiskeys.
Yeah.
But,
So I'm drinking which we haven't talked about lately, a Basil Hayden's red wine cask finish, which I may have drank on another episode. I can't really remember. But Smee and I got this in Charleston.
Yeah. Smee? Oldest liquor store in America.
Oldest liquor store in America. Yeah. So not bad.
I do like it the way it looks, I guess, and the smell.
It looks solid.
That's about all I can say about it. It does look a lot darker than the original.
Yeah, it's got a little...
That red wine.
A little red wine flave.
Yeah.
A little flave, as the kids would say, the flave.
Does it go down smooth?
It does.
Nice.
Yeah, pretty smooth. I'm not going to drink too much. I'm going to finish this glass. But Smee is drinking some tequila.
Tequila?
I think you pronounce it tequila.
Is that what she's sipping on in ice?
Yeah.
Is that straight tequila and ice?
I think it is straight tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
In fact, it's your tequila.
Oh, nice tequilas.
That you're
drinking.
Back 8 months ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, 8 months ago. Like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's been, you know, like last week.
Yeah.
Or whatever. How you like it?
It's good. Yeah, I just wanted something a little lighter than whiskey.
Did you splash a little water in there?
No, my ice is just melted.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that for... Looks like a full cup.
Yeah. She's like, I'm drinking something lighter. It is a half gallon of tequila. Yeah,
you can't just say you're drinking something lighter and top it off with like a milk gallon.
With a freaking gallon of it.
My ice is just melted. That's what it is.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, we'll see how it goes.
I think we will see how it goes.
We're going to have to do like a half cup minimum or max on for her.
Yeah, she's out of hand.
She's getting wild.
All right. Let's talk about Zen.
Dude. Yeah, let's do it.
With the wire?
Yo.
Is that, did I spell that right?
It's Z Y N.
Yeah, that's what I got. I got Z Y N here.
Yeah, I didn't know if we were going to talk about Bird's new Zen sober life.
So tell us about the Zen life.
Dude, it's a life that's just, once you plop one of them cushiony pillows in your upper decker, you can't go back. It just latches onto you.
So I feel like it's a new thing. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I guess it is kind of new. Like nicotine pouches, I guess, has kind of been more of an alternative to like stop dipping in actual tobacco and smoking.
Okay.
It's kind of a new thing for me because obviously I've been a tobacco chewer for quite some time.
A dipper.
And yeah, I like them. But the milligram ratio is 6, and I always get the 6s.
Oh, so you can get different?
Yeah, you can get 3 or 6.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
And
you
so
you get 6s, you said?
Yeah.
So that's maxed out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, that's what I get is the 6 milligrams. But the average, like, dip nicotine for regular dipping tobacco is, like, 2 like a pinch, I guess. So
okay.
It's a little stronger, but it's also from scientists saying that
such as Joe Rogan.
So he brings on Andrew Huberman, so he's good. He's a doctor or something. But yeah, he says that the nicotine's actually good for your brain. And the tobacco, there's no leading causes from nicotine. Now don't go and say, I might be.
Disclaimer, mixed. Bird's not a doctor.
Yeah, don't sue us.
If you do, you ain't getting much, boy.
You're going to get
his Zen pouches.
Nuts.
I got some nuts for you.
But yeah, they say it's actually been more beneficial than what people were thinking about.
Okay.
That nicotine was for you. So I'm going with it.
Okay.
I'm going to stop the tobacco side.
So I'm going to talk about, today you and I were working.
Yes, sir.
And you pull out your Zen can. I'm like, hey man, what is that? So you give me like a little brief overview on it. Yeah. Yeah. What you just said.
Yeah.
It's actually good for your brain.
It's good for your brain, dude.
So I throw one in my mouth and you're like, hey boy, I don't know about that. If you need to spit it out, spit it out. I'm like, dude, I don't need to spit it out. So what was it like? 9 minutes later.
Yeah, I was going to say probably 10, yeah.
We're walking around and my feet get heavy. And I'm like, God, dude, I'm getting like lightheaded. So I didn't get to the point where I was going to yak.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of like I talked about earlier, I could feel myself getting to that point at some point if
you're
I didn't quit.
You're on an expressway.
Yeah, I was on the express train for sure. So what I'm going to do now is we are at 12 minutes in. I'm going to put in a sixer because I don't chew.
Yeah.
Never have. So I guess going straight to six. Is it milligrams?
Uh-huh. Baby.
Yeah, 6 milligrams for me is going to be a lot. I'm going to see if I can make it through this entire episode and drink this glass of whiskey.
Wow.
Just to see what happens, boy.
Really?
Look at me, like, legit concerned.
When we were on the side-by-side? And
so she's in. Let's just start it. She's in. Go ahead. Yeah.
We were on the side-by-side, and I'm like...
Oh, God.
It's right after I told you, I'm like, hey... No pressure, dude.
Yeah.
You could spit it out.
Yeah.
And we jump in the side by side and I see you spit and there's just a big old long
spit
coming out. I'm like, those are the stick spits. And that's when you start throwing up.
Yeah.
That's on your pathway.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, let's see how this goes.
So you told me too that you're not supposed to spit this out, like the spit.
Yeah. I mean, you can. You could spit the spit.
Lightweight.
You know what? Give me a cup. I'm not swallowing this. I'm barely going to make it.
Let's just see. It says.
I don't think I'm going to make the full length, much less swallowing this.
You know what it says on here, though? It says, enjoy your hour, and brother, you didn't.
Enjoy what? Your hour?
Yeah, it says, place an upper lip, enjoy up to 1 hour.
No.
And brother, I should say, place an upper lip, enjoy up to 10 minutes.
7 minutes max. I think I can do, I think I can do 20 minutes here.
Yeah, it doesn't say that you have to spit or swallow, but I mean.
What do you prefer?
I was going to say.
I'm spitting. I'm a spitter.
I'm always a fan of swallowing.
Yeah, you're a swallower. I'm a spitter. So, again, if it starts to get to the point where I'll let you know when I get lightheaded, because people are like, oh, this coward. Listen, I just don't freaking do this.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like.
Well, who cares?
Like, yeah,
who
you know cares what? If you're lick my bag.
A freaking nicotine pouch.
Lick my bag. That's what I say.
I do it because of the freaking vivid dreams it gives me.
Okay.
I sleep with them, man.
So tell me. So this is.
Let me pull up this.
We started talking about Zen and how I reacted to it today. And then Bird's like, oh, yeah, I freaking sleep with two in at night.
Yeah,
he puts two packs in his freaking.
Two pouches, baby.
Up, oh, yeah, pouches.
Yeah.
Why?
Because
of the dreams it gives you?
You know, I don't really know if it's actually like it helps me go to sleep. It feels like it does, but I don't think it's actually a reason for it. But yeah, the dreams are real sweet. You got cool dreams.
So you said that makes you have like real vivid dreams,
Yeah, it does. And for example, I sent this to a group of my Marine buddies. It's been a couple days. But I want to say I woke up. This was at 6:55 on Thursday. 6:55 a.m., right?
Okay, so first thing, baby.
First thing. I just start off. I had a dream that I made Vladimir Putin laugh with a backhanded compliment while looking for rash guards for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
That was like, your dream?
That was my dream. That's the thing I remember. And I remember him just kind of cheeky little smile. And
Putin?
And he was holding
Yeah, what was he doing? He was holding rash guards?
Yeah, like him and I were shopping for some rash guards.
Oh, you guys were out chilling?
Just chilling, trying to find some rash guards for...
What was he wearing? Do you remember?
It had to be a... Oh, no, it was... I remember... Actually, I don't really remember that.
Mm.
I mean, he's got to be a suit.
Yeah, he's probably in a suit.
I mean,
but what's your opinion of that, Vladimir Putin, now that we're talking about
he's wild.
Let's go to the...
He's a wild guy.
He's a bit wild, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to, we can get into it.
Season 3 is going to be
political. Politics. Nothing but politics.
Yeah. I mean,
tell me about Israel. No. Let's not go there yet.
Not yet.
Let the Zen pouch kick in.
Are we really going to go into Putin?
Are we really doing this?
Oh, wait. Are you guys serious?
Are you guys serious?
We're going to know.
We'll save it.
Okay.
I mean, because it's still a hot topic right now, you know? I mean, we can.
I mean, it's been 8 months, though, so maybe it's, you know, according
about the time of my sobriety.
I'm sure the war's ended by now.
Yeah.
That's true. I don't know. They're still going pretty good.
Probably not.
But, I don't know. Let's just drop it, guys. Don't get me in trouble here.
Tell me about Putin.
Yeah, tell me about Putin. Hey, rash guards, I'm not, I guess.
Here's one. It's me. Tell me about Putin.
Yeah, it's me.
No.
We're just hitting all types of buttons here, aren't we?
You guys want me to tell you about Putin?
Sure.
I better not.
We're just leading everybody up to listen to nothing.
Yeah, they're like, are they going to talk about Putin or not? Here's the deal. We're not, but maybe.
This is digitally recorded, so no.
Yeah, here's the deal. Putin's listening to us right now. He's like,
had the same dream.
He's like, damn it, just talk about me.
He's probably he probably had a dream about Bird pulling rash guards up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He probably gave me a backhanded compliment.
So I'll say this. A few minutes in, I feel a little
a little tingle.
Yeah, that's what I feel. Brother.
Like in your hands?
Is that the start?
Or your face?
It's burning the lip.
Yeah, my lip, which I think it's kicking in. Mm-hmm. That's what does
is
it.
Is that the wintergreen or the nicotine?
Well, I guess I do have wintergreen. It might be a little bit of both, brother.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, just ride the wave. Mm. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. I'm spitting in a coffee mug that looks like Jesus made it. Look how old this thing is.
No, it's definitely made to look old, but I thought it was better for everybody if it was in clear glass.
Yeah.
See it.
Yeah. Okay. Whew. Yeah. Get a little light hit. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's do this.
Gonna go great.
Let's do it.
How far do we make it in before you start?
When did I do it? 12?
I told you to timestamp it.
At 12 minutes, I'm pretty sure. So I'm 6 minutes in. Okay.
That's about right, actually.
Yeah. All right. So, let's see, Bird Sobriety Zen. I want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart. You ready for this?
Yeah.
It's Putin.
Back to Putin.
We talking about Putin or not?
You're about to be Putin.
Yeah, I'm going to be Putin all over this place. Give me a glass of milk.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right, so, I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not going to mention any locations, but...
It's me, here.
It's me, it's you. So I get messages from cops, not just in Missouri, from all over. And there seems to be a trend of upper level supervisors telling these guys who are like go-getters, who are, arresting a lot of people. And let's just say this, good arrest, right? We're not saying trash arrests, but are making good quality arrests. Mm-hmm. And they're being told from the upper folks to not go to certain locations to make these arrests. And I'm gonna make it a little more clear, I guess, into like a city.
Yeah, like in their jurisdiction, certain places within their jurisdiction that they should, for no other reason, be able to patrol.
Yeah, for instance, I'll use a county as an example. So when I worked county, we mainly stayed out in the county. Mm-hmm. And I get that, right? So
you're the county, yeah.
I was in Greene County, so we were encouraged to stay out in the county area outside of municipalities.
Yeah.
But I was also on the DWI team, so hey, you got to fish where the fish are, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we went into Springfield a lot, and nobody ever said anything to us. But what's happening now, and this is not Greene County, by the way, but there are supervisors telling like these county guys to not go into this jurisdiction to make these arrests.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, maybe it's at the state level, too, that they're telling these guys not to go into these jurisdictions to make these arrests. How do you feel about that? As a tax-paying citizen, let's keep going. As a tax-paying citizen, burdens me. How do you guys feel about that? My head's getting heavy, by the way.
To me, it kind of depends, and this is just kind of outsider looking in. Obviously, I feel like they should be able to, you know, do what they got to do, go to the places that probably need them the most, right?
Yeah.
That being said, I also, if there's, I don't know, that kind of just sums up how I feel, actually, is that let them do their job, get the bad people, and then we pay the taxes for it.
Yeah, like no matter where they're at, right? Yeah,
like let them do their job.
So clearly this is a problem area.
Yeah.
Because they're going in there and making a lot of arrests. Again, good arrests. And they're being told not to do that.
Which, yeah, and it's...
Is that not insane? It's 2024 and we're still doing something like that?
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of seems like there's a little bit of backstory of maybe the higher-ups.
There's got to be a backstory.
Like, hey, you know, my wife's been drinking at a party, kind of, you know, through this area, don't go that way or something.
Okay.
Yeah. Like trying to keep them off their track.
Keep them away from the area for a reason.
And that's just for me. I have no idea what kind of goes in on it, but...
Okay.
I feel like there's a little bit of a backstory of the leadership and them trying to hide something or trying to get away with something.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. And I'm going to give you a little bit more here in just a minute, but I'm going to get your feels with the information you have right now. So you say it's BS.
Yeah.
Just me?
Yeah. I mean, I would agree that it's BS. I think that it's a sign of poor leadership. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason. So in my mind, I go straight to either there's some kind of quarrel between the county and the city or the municipality.
Mm-hmm. Or the state.
And in that case...
That's the spit I was talking
about. Yo, bro.
It's coming.
Yo.
That's the spit.
We got a little bit of spinning going on.
Yes, sir.
Keep going with me.
In that case, like, they just need to get over each other and, you know, figure out how to work together for a common cause between the different ranks and the different levels of agencies. So on that, that's on that side, if it's that reason, then that's a sign of poor leadership, of not being able to get over yourself and work with people who you should be collaborating with versus working against or, you know, butting heads with. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a sign of bad leadership. If it's because it's... political, and we are like hot and heavy in a, you know, political election year. If it's some kind of, you know, city councilman or so and so doesn't want us to go to their stomping grounds and arrest their buddies,
mm-hmm.
then that's another sign of poor leadership. But just for a different reason, that's just an ethical dilemma, I believe, at that point, not an ego dilemma. Whereas the other one, I feel like, would have been ego-based. This one, I feel like, is a legit ethical, like, just trying to get in the right pockets of the right, you know, councilman or city politician or mayor, whatever that dynamic looks for them. Either way, it's a sign of poor leadership and being a weak individual.
Yeah. So, this wasn't on my list originally, but talking about if it is political, which I don't know, right? I have no idea what it is. Here's the deal. As cops, we are not political pawns.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And you see this time and time again, election years, and I don't care, right, Republican, Democrat, I don't really care. But you will see the cops being used as
political pawns.
Yeah. And that's not right. Because that's not what we are, right? We don't care about politics.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's very frustrating to me. That, and here's the thing that really pisses me off is these are like young guys. So probably, you know, first 5 years. So they're out there killing it and doing a hell of a job. And then you have people coming in saying, don't go there.
Yeah.
And what's even more sad is they are, hey, I'm trying.
No,
I'm trying
it.
To get through this.
Dude, I love it.
God dang, it's really starting. I feel it in my chest. Filled in my chest.
That's a heart attack.
Yeah. Okay. I could be having a stroke.
Yeah.
But, you know, what they've done is they've unfortunately have been forced, I'll say, for lack of a better term, have been forced to not go to these certain areas. So they went somewhere else and have now started to be successful. And then now they're being told not to go there.
Yeah, that's rough. That's putting chains on the dogs, you know?
Yeah.
That's chaining the dogs up.
Yeah. And here's where it gets even a little more, in my opinion, disgusting, if you will. So these guys were making, again, a lot. We're talking 100-plus arrests for, like, DWI, which is always... DWI is a very interesting arrest because everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I mean by everybody does it is all I like how Smee zoomed the camera in on me, just waiting for me to lose
I
it here.
I just want
to
capture.
Just have the vomit.
Yeah.
Dude, slow-mo that.
Dude. But, so DWI is interesting because all classes.
Yeah, it's not a class.
Lower class, middle class, upper class.
Crime. Applies right? to everybody.
Exactly. So, you know, if it's middle class, lower class, you don't hear anything.
Yeah, either people fine or I'm fine with enforcing those.
Mm-hmm.
But you start to hit the quote-unquote upper class, then all of a sudden people have a problem with it. And that's freaking wrong.
Right.
Because that ain't right.
I mean, it's a law.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you wear, you know, overalls or a tie to work.
Exactly. I don't care if you're a state rep or if you're some freaking hobo out here driving around drunk.
Yeah.
Right? It's an equal opportunity. And then to go a step further, tell me.
A hobo would be more respectful if you got arrested by him.
Yeah.
That you're arrested.
Yeah. So, from my experience, and I think people would agree with this, usually you get your middle class folks, lower class folks. A lot of the times they are very, hey, listen, shit, you got me.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Shouldn't have been. Well, you did a ride along with me.
Yeah, I was going to say, that dude was pretty sweet.
And he was
probably. Bird and him still hang out.
Yeah.
No, but Bird was doing a ride along and. Would you? He's probably what, lower middle class.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
I don't mean nothing.
He's welder, I think.
Yeah, just doing his thing. Ripped out of a parking lot, and I think we're both like, yeah, this dude's freaking plowed.
And I'm not even trained in it.
No,
I'm
yeah,
that guy.
Bird's like, okay, this guy's gonna be drunk.
Yeah.
So we pull him over, flatbed pickup.
Yeah,
was that right?
Yeah, red flatbed.
Oh yeah, yeah, red flatbed, and the guy's like, hell. You got me.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm drunk, boy.
Yeah.
You got me.
You got me.
And could not have been more cooperative.
Yeah, real cool guy.
Right.
Actually.
And then, yeah, real cool dude. He really was. Yeah. And then you get these upper class people who are like, my God, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Well, first off, I don't give a shit who you are.
Right.
Or who you know. So that's just frustrating to me that people in upper positions are feeling pressured or whatever you want to call it. And then they pass that pressure down to the lower guys to not do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think, I mean, it probably is more inflamed or prevalent in election times, but I don't for 2 seconds think that that's not how it's always been. The difference is the people in the middle of it that are getting the pressure, whether they pass it down to the front line or if they absorb it and deal with the BS that comes from city councilor or wherever it's coming from.
Yeah. And it pisses me off because I don't want to be that guy that's like, oh, but my God, if I was running the show, yeah, that's not what I mean. But I think as a supervisor or a person that has been promoted to a supervisory administrative position, I think that you have entered into a social contract at that point that you have certain expectations of you.
Right.
And those expectations are you do what's right. And you ensure we all do what's right. That's including arresting these folks.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And if you're not going to uphold your social contract that you entered into willingly when you took a promotion to a certain level, you don't need to be in that position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys agree with that?
I agree. But I also believe that even from any sort of leadership position in the government, has a certain extent of corruption. I think that they're pretty, I mean, not from...
All power is corruptible. So
yeah, so I think that we're just at that time now that I've noticed. I mean, obviously it's probably been, you know, happening a long time, but I think that it's pretty corrupt up there. So they do think that laws don't apply to them.
Hmm.
Actual laws.
Yeah, they do.
And so that's what frustrates me is because, I think, upper echelon of government are corrupt.
So. Yeah. And again,
yeah,
I think...
Bird and I's overall turn is it unfortunate? Yes. Are we surprised?
Yeah,
no.
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't want to say I'm not surprised anymore, but I'm constantly disappointed.
Right.
That... If somebody reached out to me and said, hey, one of your guys is arresting a lot of people, my response would be, and... Mm. Do you have a complaint? And is your complaint rooted in any sort of truth? And is it rooted in any sort of violation of policy or violation of the law?
Right.
And if it's not, get the hell out of here. I don't want to hear it. So.
That would be ideal. And like I said, I don't know if it's just a indicator of weak leadership in generation or this particular agency, but I don't for 2 seconds think that that's not always been the case, that individuals in public offices or somehow tied into the infrastructure of a city or a county have not always expected to be treated differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, I think it just depends on who is answering that call and fielding that complaint and whether they are a strong leader themselves.
Yeah. So to kind of put things more in perspective too. So when I was a city copper, we would have, well, it really wasn't county guys, it was state guys would come into the city and arrest a lot of people, which I thought was freaking sweet, right? Clearly, me and my crew at that time could not have arrested everybody that needed it at that point. And there was never any sort of animosity or jurisdictional conflict.
Right.
Right? So, and unfortunately, coming from these guys, again, I'm not giving too much away, the leaders of that local jurisdiction have a problem with these guys coming in and making these arrests to the point where they're communicating with their officers and saying, hey, are those guys in town? To which I would say, I'll go wherever the hell I want.
Right.
And I just don't think those guys feel like, that are going into the cities, feel like their admin is backing them up, which is what it should be.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just kind of counterproductive if you're not wanting to attack the situation with as much force as you can. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have like an adjacent support that can be there in a situation instead of you, you know, being upset, butthurt about them crossing a, you know, a line and them not helping you out.
Yeah. Which, by the way, they're within their jurisdiction as well. So it's not like they are going out like to another state, right? Obviously.
Right. Like when I say line, like,
you know, yeah.
The, you know, county or whatever it may be.
So I just think it's absolutely ridiculous. And again, go ahead. Just have some. I might just hearing
freaking,
things.
She's picking her.
Me's just freaking picking her bugs.
Did I tell you that that Zen was laced?
Laced.
Bad time.
Is this it too late?
You know, already in the system.
I think I'm leveling off though.
Okay.
Oh, you're peaking, dude.
I think I peaked and I'm leveling.
Don't let it fool you.
Okay, it'll come get me.
Yeah.
It'll sneak up on me.
Yeah, don't get too confident.
Yeah,
Mr. 6 milligram boy.
Woo, hitting it, boy. Straight to the top. Straight to the top. So one more thing on these guys. So they, again, they were doing a really just a bang up job, a hell of a job. And instead of at the end of the year, them getting recognized for their efforts and saying, hey, good work. You guys are outworking everybody. Mm-hmm. They got no response as to, hey, a positive response, I guess I should say. And instead it was stop doing what you're doing. Go do something else. And that's just really sad.
I'm not crying. I just choked on a little bit of my
first spirit.
Choked on Zen.
Yeah. No, I feel like that has something to do with a little bit of retention rate as well.
I mean,
if you want to dive deep into that,
yeah.
I mean, you hear, I mean, what makes that, what that officer want to stay?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not, you know, getting a, you know, a little support from his mm-hmm. admin side on saying, hey, good work. Keep doing, keep it up. You know, so I feel like that probably has a little play in retention. Mm-hmm. But what do I know?
No, you're spot on. And I think it's not like, hey, people want a pat on the back necessarily. It is, I just expect you to support me because you're in this position and that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it's not the pat on the back, it's have my back.
There you go. Yeah, it's a good
way.
Oh my God. Hashtag sticker. Hashtag sticker. It's not a pat, it's about having it.
You're going to put that on a sticker now?
That's the back.
I knew it was going to hit.
Yeah, dude.
I've been thinking of that for like months.
Yeah, dude. You're sober enough to remember it.
Yeah, I finally looked over my notes.
Yeah. So anyway, that's sad. And I know these guys listen to the podcast. So, and I feel bad because I know they reach out and want some advice. And for me, it's difficult to say, what I want to say, because I don't want to put them in a bad position. So I will say, hey, this is what I would do, which is I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. If you want to write me up for
doing your job,
doing my job, go for it.
Yeah.
But it's difficult for me to tell a new guy that.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I think, and it is hard from a new, like to be a new, I'm assuming they're a younger individual.
Yeah. Go-getters. Yeah, my guys,
younger,
by the way.
New. I think that is hard, but I think that they should keep in mind that it isn't 100% indicative of poor, weak leadership. And that is not something that they should reflect upon. Like, they obviously need to figure out how to survive and to, you know, adapt to the situation, but it is not their fault that they have been given a weak leader. They will do fine. They will overcome. They will have different leaders over their time period, but unfortunately they got a short straw right out the gate.
So. Yeah. And it sucks because I feel like I've let them down a little bit, because when I train them, I say, hey, it doesn't matter. I don't care who it is. I don't care what they do, who they are. You treat everybody the exact same.
Yeah.
So then they get out there on the road and then they're being told, well, that's not the way it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So then I'm almost setting them up for failure.
Well, that is, I think that on your part too, like, these are young kids. These are 20 somethings. Like, I remember my first job thinking that, you know, everybody in healthcare wanted to save the world, and that is just not the case. And yeah. I think that there would be hard lessons to learn entering into any workforce about the realities of the world, essentially. And I think that you shouldn't take responsibility for that either. It is an unfortunate reality that they will have good leadership and they will have bad leadership, and it will come at different times through their career. But unfortunately, they got some not good ones right now.
Yeah. And that's sad. I told them, you know, since they're young, the one thing that we do have working in our favor, as far as, and I don't want to say I'm really that young anymore, but I've got a long way to go in my career, is I'll win through attrition,
mm-hmm.
right? Eventually you will have to leave, meaning these people making these horrible decisions, and we will still be here.
Yeah.
So my advice is to them always, you know, remember how it feels to be told that. So when you're in that position, you know how you will respond.
Right.
Right. So anyway, that's how I feel about that. I got a text today and just pissed me off, if you can't tell.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on that? What's your advice to him? What would you say to him?
I mean, I would say keep doing your thing.
Yeah.
Keep doing your thing and mm-hmm. screw the pussies. I mean, I'm just saying, like, hey, you signed up for it, do the job.
Yeah.
And if anybody's saying that, just tell them to F off and keep working hard.
Keep doing that.
Now,
obviously,
that's no, I don't want to end anybody's career by doing that, obviously, you know, like, by saying that, yeah. They take that advice, you know, obviously put your career above my idiotic advice, but...
That's good advice, though.
But, no, it is good advice, because if your career is going to be ended for doing what's right, then it's probably not where you should be in the first place.
I'm going to say, and at the end of the day, and this is, you know, just on stuff in the world, you know, you can go to sleep at night knowing that you did the right thing and got in trouble for
yeah.
it, or you can go to sleep, or go and try to sleep knowing that you didn't do the right thing. So I think that, you know, hey, have any doubt, keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like, they don't like it, well, tough tits.
Yeah. Tough titty, said the kitty when the milk went dry.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that's how I feel about it, too, is, you know, keep doing what you're doing. I had a captain one time who I think is going to be on this podcast, and who knows, he may actually be on here prior to this one airing, but he used to tell me he was a badass.
Yeah,
he was.
Smee knows who it is.
Yeah.
Like, physically, mentally, everything about him was a badass.
Did you have a man crush?
Be honest.
So, a man crush, probably pretty close to one.
Nice.
Because I heard him several times take phone calls from upper folks.
Yeah.
And was like, I'm not hearing what they're doing wrong yet. And they would continue. He would just hang up the phone.
Yeah.
And he would say, hey, Ryan, just keep doing this. This is what was being said, but you just keep doing it.
Right.
You know, so, he also, what I liked about him is he would say, Ryan, some things are just worth getting in trouble for. Mm. And I think this is one of those things that, you know, draw a line in the sand. Hey, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And some things are worth getting in trouble for. And this is one of them.
Yeah.
But you got to accept that too. Right.
Right.
That knowing that you could get in trouble for this, which is really sad, but
yeah, it's really sad that somebody can get in trouble for doing their job.
Yeah.
I mean, but
yeah. And that's where I think that you may feel like you failed them because you told them to go out and treat everybody equally. But I think that another part of survival under weak, poor, bad leadership is finding mentors or comrades that you can like lean on and say, hey, I feel like this is what I should be doing, but I just want to make sure you check me and make sure I'm not crazy, so that they feel supported from somewhere, even if it's not from their leadership. Mm-hmm.
And that sucks as well. I mean, when you don't feel supported from your leadership, that's pretty BS.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, the best way to like support one of your dudes is to have their back regardless.
Right.
And right. So when they're not even doing that, when you're doing something right, how are they going to be when they...
When you mess
when,
up?
When there's something gray.
Right, right. When you make... Yeah, there you go. A gray area.
Gray area. They're going to throw you underneath the bus.
Yeah. That's,
that pisses me off about hearing about it because, you know, like, this is simple. A dude's trying to do their job.
Right.
And you can't even support him with it.
So it's sad.
It's pretty... I don't know, but...
It's really sad.
I didn't want to bring it down with that.
No. No, you're right. All right, so something else I want to talk about here is sometimes I feel...
Lightheaded.
Yeah, actually, I'm feeling pretty good right now.
You're feeling good?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. I'm doing okay. I think I'm going to make it.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm leveling off, dude.
That first spit, that
yeah,
that scared me.
The long spit?
Yeah.
The stringy one?
Yeah, the stage 5 stringer.
Yeah. I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I can still feel it.
Right.
But...
what are you feeling now?
A little lightheaded. That's about it.
Yeah.
The room's not spinning like it was. Again, I feel like I'm plateauing. I'm still elevated, but I'm plateauing up here.
Nice. That's where you want to sit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm hanging out. I'm going to be sleeping with two of these in my lip tonight.
Dreaming of Putin.
Just me and Putin hanging out. Hey, what do you guys think of Putin? So here's something else I want to talk about. And I feel like this has kind of been true through my career, so city, county, and where I am now, is I feel like that people almost want us to be ashamed of what we do and who we are. And what I mean by that is it's constantly, oh, don't be on social media, don't be doing this, don't be doing that. For me, I'm very proud of what I do. And I mean, I'm not like the guys like, thin blue line, like, you know, wearing the freaking shirts that say sheepdog or... I hunt what? What is it? Yeah, I got your six. Or I hunt what? God, I can't even think.
The evil you pretend doesn't exist.
Yeah, how does Smee even know what it is? She wears those shirts around.
Yeah.
But anyway, so. I'm definitely not that guy. But I think there's a certain level that you should be proud of, and you should be telling your guys to be proud, and gals, right? You should be telling them to be proud of what they do, which I think would increase morale, increase retention, that, hey, what I'm doing is a good thing. And I just don't think that we have that right now. And maybe it's just me that feels that way, but I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, you can kind of see, obviously I'm, you know, not involved with it as you are, but you can kind of see it. Others trying to make other people that are in that career path feel, you know, bad about their job, which I will say, I think it's probably a lot of the you know, social media, and I think that has a lot to do with it. Like, just trying to persuade somebody to have one idea about one thing about them.
Right? I almost just spit my whiskey glass, by the way. But so put it in your perspective. You were in the Marine Corps. You're proud of that, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, imagine someone trying to say, hey, don't ever say you were in the Marine Corps. Don't ever be proud of that. Don't be proud of your country. That type of, like, I feel like that's how it is.
Yeah.
To not be proud of that.
Yeah. And from my experience of people who said that, because we had dudes in the military that were like, dude, don't, you know, act like you're a Marine and stuff. Which,
but you were one.
Which so. I was. I'm like, might as well.
Yeah, what does it even mean?
Yeah. I was going to say it, but kind of. In that regard, that same, those individuals who would say that were also the ones that were kind of shitbags.
Yeah.
So, like, the people who are telling people not to be proud of what their career is and their profession are more than likely the ones who aren't proud of themselves.
Yeah.
So, it's like, hey, kind of have to take it with a grain of salt, unfortunately, because they're just going to be those bad people.
Yeah.
That just are just low on their, on themselves, and they kind of push it on people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so maybe, like, consider the source?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, now, like, obviously, I don't know. It's hard to talk about it because I'm not in your guys' shoes, but, like, if somebody were to say, hey, don't act like a Marine, or don't be a Marine, or don't, you know, be proud that you served in the Marine Corps,
yeah,
you know, I'd be like, dude, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're probably one of those guys who got treated the way they should have because they were in and they're like, you know, got kicked out because they were too scared to go on deployment or something.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you probably have a bad experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, pretty much consider the source that it's coming from.
Yeah.
I would say. I mean, but who, what do I know?
Mm. Smee, any thoughts on that?
Smee.
Yes, sir. Hey.
Save me here.
Hello. Hello. Is there a, I got an echo, so I'm good. So is there.
Well, I'm floating around over here on Zen pouches, so I don't want to hear about your echo.
That I'm. I'm firing all
cylinders. And what world are we living in where Bird's the most sober person here?
2024 is gonna be the last year.
Is there like a specific story or case?
No, not really. I just feel that as a whole, we are encouraged to not be proud of. And again, maybe it's just how I feel. But things like this last topic of just telling these guys not to go in there, bullshit. You know, be proud of what you are. We stand for something, and we stand together. And maybe that's what I'm, you know, thinking about. But anyway, I just feel like that we're encouraged to not be proud of ourselves sometimes, and I think that's bullcrap.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I mean, I think to what Bird said, I think that anybody that pushes or deflects or projects, I think is the appropriate term, projects that. They shouldn't, like, somebody shouldn't be proud in what they do is going through something on their own end, whether it's somebody in their agency that maybe, you know, got burned on social media or maybe wasn't acting like they should on social media or whatever the case may be. They're then projecting that on everybody's experience that mm-hmm. that's how they should behave or that's how they should act. Or maybe somebody who let their personal life fall apart because they, you know, took too much stake in their job and like that was their whole world and their identity, then they project that on other people like, oh, don't do that because they're working through some stuff that they need to work through on their own. So mm-hmm. I think anybody that's going to project onto somebody else how they should or should not feel about a situation or identity or a job is probably only doing that because they're struggling with what they're feeling or thinking about said issue.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying, oh, go post pictures of yourself in uniform. I mean, I don't do that, and I would probably say probably not do that, but I would never tell someone not to do that, right? As long as it's within reason,
right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I saw it, oh, God, unfortunately, there's a, well, I shouldn't say unfortunately, there's a social media page that roasts TikTok cops,
mm-hmm.
and I freaking think it's awesome. Because TikTok cops are garbage, but, you know, I'm not saying go do stuff like that, but I just think you should be proud of what you do. Because if you can't be proud of what you're doing, why, you know, why do it in the first place?
Right. Yeah, it's going to carry a heavy burden for all those days that you're not proud of what you do, you know, 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so I mean, your job takes up so much of your life. So yeah. If you're not able to find pride in it, then, and there are just the reality of the situation, there are just certain jobs that take more of your life than other jobs. Like, you know, not many of the people that I know that are business managers identify as business managers in public.
Yeah.
But it also that, you know, 9 to 5, 8 to 5 situation doesn't, I don't know, that just doesn't take as much of their life as some of the roles that you guys have been in do. So I think that if you're going to have something consume that much of your life, then you need to have pride and joy in it.
Yeah.
And I think the clear distinction for us is if you ask like a cop or what he does, or, you know, someone in law enforcement, they'll say, I am a this, right? That's what they do. But if you ask, like, I guess I'll use your example, a businessman, they'll probably say something like, I work for XYZ company, not I am a whatever XYZ. I'm an accountant. You know what I'm saying? They'll say, oh, I work for blah, blah, blah. I do accounting, whatever.
Yeah.
So we do tend to identify with it. And I'm not saying that's a healthy thing, but I just think it's a certain type of person, whether it's military, police, anything of public service, that we do take pride in that because it is a noble and just cause.
Yeah.
And I think we should be proud of that. And I am very proud of what, number one, I do. And I'm very proud of what my guys do. And then, you know, military guys as well. I just can't speak on that, right?
Yeah, no, I agree with you because, you know, that's kind of the whole thing is that, like, I'm a Marine, you know, kind of like what you were saying. Mm-hmm. Is that, and so you kind of take identity in what you're saying with that. And so, for, yeah, pretty much exactly what you said. You know, you got to, that consumes your life.
Yeah.
So you got to be happy doing it. Don't be down on it. And the people who are pushing you to be down on your job, on what you are,
mm-hmm.
they're not happy with themselves or their situation.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's all about your Mac Miller self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care.
I think it's interesting that, like, coming from within your
yeah
industry, though. I think that's what's interesting, is you're feeling that way from within your own rank and file. I think that's weird.
Yeah,
it's really weird. You know, for me, I always want to be, I always want my family to be proud of me, right? And the one I think of is, like, my little girl. I want her to go, man, my dad is, you know, he does this, and to be proud of that.
Yeah.
But so if she sees me not proud of that, then for me, it would make, I think that she would question, not, you know, she's pretty young now, so not yet. But as she gets older, kids pick up on things.
Right.
And if I'm not proud of what I do, then maybe she starts to question, well, you know, why is he even doing that? Or is it even a just thing to be in law enforcement?
Yeah.
So that's what kind of bothers me. Yeah, especially in ours, when we're struggling to keep people as it is, and we're down, you know, agencies are just down large numbers. I don't care what, you know, if you have an agency of 10, if you're down 2, that's a large number, right? Mm-hmm. Then if you have agencies that are 1,500 and you're down 300, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be encouraging to take pride in that.
Yeah, and I don't know if that, like, this segues into your one of your other topics here, but I would 100% say that whoever's making people feel that way or whatever has gone through something personally that they're blaming the job for.
Right. And especially if it's your, I mean, kind of to go back to the retention, if a leadership is making somebody feel down about what they do, how is that guy supposed to stay there and be like, dang, this is going to be my life. I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah.
You know, so like in a leadership position, if you're, get out.
That's honestly what I'm saying. Yeah, you've entered that social contract, right?
Yeah, get out.
If there's no accountability structure, you have the accountability of the leader to hold the employee or the coworker or the subordinate accountable. But there's, in virtually every industry, like there's not a structure to hold a leader accountable to their responsibilities for the team, the coworker, their squad, their zone, who, like, whatever that structure looks like. They're very rarely. Is the opposite way of accountability. Like, hey, this leader's not performing. Yeah. And if you do answer that on a, you know, survey or whatever that you get, it very rarely goes anywhere. So there's no reason to say, hey, this leader is literally bringing everybody down. It very rarely happens that they get removed from their position.
So yeah. What's the solution to that?
You have to have a two-way accountability. Like, you have to be able to have that conversation, that communication, both down to the coworker and up to the leadership.
So how would you do that?
Well, and I mean, it wasn't perfect by any means in places that I work, but we did have to fill, like, we did have to go through a lead, like, leadership evaluations where people that work for me
would evaluate you
on my leadership capabilities. And mm-hmm. then my leader would review them with me.
Okay. So your subordinates, I know you don't like that term, but that's what we use. Your subordinates would evaluate you, and then your
leader would then hold me accountable to those results.
Hmm.
From the peer eval.
From my team of people that I was leading.
Okay. So again, not a perfect process. For me, I think that we start, or I like that your peers evaluate, I'm sorry, your subordinates evaluate the manager or the mid-level manager, whatever you want to call it. But I also think that the subordinates play a part in who gets moved up. And what I mean by that is people who are on the front lines recognize who is a good leader, who's working hard, who's doing all the things right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have certain folks who, the term is Moonlight Ranger, which I think I've talked about on here before. I can't remember. But basically that's a term from, I think, the Army Rangers, where people will only work hard when somebody's watching. And when I say somebody, it is an upper level person.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when a lieutenant or a captain walks in, oh, I'm all of a sudden I'm the hardest worker here.
Sandbagging.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, you know, everybody else knows, well, that's bullshit. This guy doesn't do anything 90% of the time.
Yeah.
So that's why I think for the, I guess I would say promotion process, is that there's like a point system or a ranking system from peers. And then that the first line people, based off their ranking of you, have like a, so many points go into that promotion. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
So like if we have a squad of 10 and each, all 10 of those people rank each other, you're going to have one that's going to get, or one or two that are going to get really high points.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, those points should be pushed towards that person's promotion.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the people they work with know them best.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's an understanding in the business world that if you have a department or a group that works together well for 6 months while you're hiring a replacement, then you should be promoting, not hiring. Then we need to be looking within that group for who's leading them.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying the team knows best. They see all the little, you know, ins and outs and the things you do wrong, the things you do right. I just think that they should have a say in that process. It's just me.
That's a good say.
Just me, man.
It makes sense.
Because what we see, whether it's in law enforcement or private industry, the people above make the decisions on who to bring up with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that's right. The people, and it's really just like you know, any sort of election, the people choose who they want to lead them. And I think we should take that process. It's not a perfect process, but take that process and implement that in law enforcement, private industry, and then have the people select who do I want to follow. And then I think you see that work ethic, that morale, that cohesion. Dude, did we just jinx it?
Same brainwave.
Jinx, dude. Yomi is in.
What am I thinking?
Yomi is in. I don't know. I do not want to. I'm just kidding.
You don't want to go down.
No,
there,
sir. Right? No, sir. I don't. No. Anyway, that's just something we always, you know, whether it's whatever agency it is, well, we got to fix the promotion process, and then nobody, well, how do we do that? Then nobody has an answer, and then we just do this round and round again where nobody does anything. But I would look into peer evaluations.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's how the special operations work with, like, you know, SEAL teams, MARSOC, the Raiders, any sort of special operations, they do a peer eval. And I believe, and I don't want to like say something that's not true, but I had a buddy that went into MARSOC and he got peer evaled out. He finished the whole course, got peer evaled out.
So at the end, they were like, no, this dude sucks.
Yeah. And they, you know, that was it. You don't return. You don't get to go run that course again.
Yeah. I feel like I have read something like that. And again, I don't want to speak out of turn, but, I think it was a special operation unit or whatever, where, yeah, you can make it to the end and then your peers basically have a say in, do you move on or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's,
yeah. And I mean, it sounds, you know, pretty cutthroat, but it's,
I mean, but is it
best?
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't that encourage you?
Right? Yeah.
It's an honest process. Like, some people don't have it and it's not to say that he wasn't right for that. Like, he's not right for any leadership. Like,
yeah.
He can't handle any of it, but his group, that was not the right fit for him.
Yeah, and, you know, it's an elite group, and that's what I think that, the you know, you could make with law enforcement. You can make elite groups if you establish a peer evaluation, because I'm not saying that a person getting peer evaluated out is, you know, not a great, you know, war dog or LEO officer or whatever, but, hey, you're trying to narrow your search of having the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of the best way to do it, really.
Yeah.
But,
and maybe it's just not that person's time.
Right.
Right. Know? Maybe they're just not ready to lead yet.
Yeah.
Not saying they're a bad person. And then I think too, something we don't think about is managers and leaders. I think they're two different things. And I think that both are necessities, but we like to dog managers. Oh, this guy's just managing. Listen, you have to have a manager,
right?
Someone's got to check those boxes.
Exactly. Somebody's got to make sure that you have all your equipment. Somebody's got to make sure you have funding.
Someone's going to approve your payroll.
Yeah, somebody's got to do all that. And that's a manager position. And I think that managers and leaders just should be separated. And too often we try to make that all one. And that's just not the way that's not the way we're wired. Now, are there people that can do both of those quite well? Of course there are.
Yeah.
But I just think that we push sometimes the wrong people forward just because that's who we, if we were, you know, admin, who we want to come up because they're like-minded like us.
Yeah.
And like-mindedness.
Well, they did a good job acting out your direction. So why wouldn't they, why don't they deserve to be elevated to the next level? That's the mindset of a weak leader that says, hey, that person was really good at managing the things I gave them, but they're not going to give me new any ideas or challenge any of mine.
Yeah. And maybe the question is, for those people that are making those decisions, is ask yourself, are we headed the right direction? Are we just doing a great job right now? And if the answer is no, and like a real self-reflection, not, oh, what you're telling yourself, right? But what's actually happening? If the answer is no, obviously that type of thinking or your type of thinking is not working.
Right.
So let's bring in somebody with new ideas. But as people, I just don't think we have that. We don't have the tendency to bring in people who are, who think differently than we do.
Who can challenge our thoughts.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, which makes a lot of sense why it could be going south, because you get a whole bunch of like-minded individuals who aren't willing to challenge somebody's thoughts or you know, question something of them, kind of what Smee was saying. Then you're going to have a whole group of people who all think the same and who all, you know, are on the same boat in the same direction kind of thing.
Whereas
if you bring somebody up who's going to give you a different look on it, different kind of think outside of the box, more objectively, you're going to get different ideas. You're going to be able to kind of work with each other and be able to kind of, you know, find middle ground on that situation. So you got to, I mean, you got to open, you got to accept that somebody's going to challenge your thoughts, and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay, because
I think it's okay and it's necessary.
It's necessary.
Yeah. Well, it's necessary for progress.
Right.
Like, I think that it is confirmation bias and seeking that is very comfortable. And so for people who strive to live in the comfortable, it is not an easy process to be challenged.
Yeah.
So I found this quote. I don't know who said it. It was somewhere on social media. And I get it, right? People post stuff on social media all the time. But this one really slapped, as the kids would say.
That's right.
The drip.
Yep.
It dripped.
Yeah. Fire.
It's fire. It's cap. It's no cap. Okay. But here, check this out. This is a good one. Bosses who don't listen will eventually be surrounded by people who have nothing to say.
That's true.
Dude, that slaps.
Yeah.
Preach it. That's all I got. Smee says preach, but I just read, that's it. That's
read
the quote.
Read it again. Just read it again.
I guess she wants it again. Bosses who don't listen will eventually be surrounded by people who have nothing to say.
Yeah.
Smee,
yeah.
Do you want me to repeat that? Or are you good?
Could you do it one more time for me?
I mean, yeah, sure.
Hold it up.
Bosses who don't listen will eventually be surrounded by people who have nothing to say.
Yep.
Say. Which is true. I mean, it's straight to the point.
Yeah. Why would you keep talking if nobody's listening?
Yeah. I mean, why would you want to say anything if it doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
But that's also kind of one of those things that if you're in a leadership position, it's okay to be wrong.
Yeah.
It's okay to be corrected. You don't have to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You can literally learn from the dudes that you're in the leadership of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's fine.
Yeah.
But for what's not fine is for them to be kicking out ideas and thoughts and opinions and you to, you know, cold shoulder them and not tell them, you know, just act like they're nobody.
Yeah.
That's not okay. That's not a leader.
You ready for this one?
Send it.
If you're always right, you're wrong.
Nice.
Dude, how was that?
Merch.
If you're always right, you're wrong.
That's, merch.
Yeah.
T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you're not always right. Like, I screw up. Smee screws up. Bird never does because he's talented, baby.
I was wrong one time in seventh grade.
Mm.
One time.
Wrong sense.
Yeah, it's when, you hit on your teacher and
got sent to the principal's office.
Yeah. Now you married her.
I love her.
All right.
That's good, though.
Yeah. So one other thing I want to talk about kind of ququickly. So on this...
You need to have this in?
No, God, no.
No?
No, dude. Sure. I've got like a
you don't
cup
want
full of spit.
1-2 MGs?
No, sir. I do not. So...
Cut it in.
Yeah, I am starting to get, again, leveling off, but I can tell I still feel something.
You know, if you put a zen in your butt crack, it absorbs faster.
An anal zen, as they call it.
Mm-hmm. You keister that zen.
Ah, keistered zen.
It's a butthole pillow.
It's a, okay.
Butt cushion.
They say you're, yeah, you have thinner skin in your butt.
Yes, thinner.
They don't say that.
Give me
that's
one of those.
An actual fact.
Give me one of those things. Let me put it in my keister real quick.
Put it in there for you?
Yeah, dude.
Just spread it open.
It's me. Hold on to me while I spread my cheek.
I'm going to pack it in there.
Yeah, just tap it in. Boop, 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 boop. All right.
And we digress.
Yeah. So one other thing I wanted to talk about too is, so on the potty, I know maybe Bird doesn't do this, which is completely fine, which is I think why you're here. But every once in a while, I find myself, whether it's on the potty or on social media, you got to watch what you say. And what I mean by, Bird has never done that.
Wow, that sounds crazy.
But so for us, we work with other like companies, contract with other companies, other state entities. So you got to watch what you say.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to burn that bridge. But, you know, where do you draw the line of, okay, I don't want to burn the bridge because this is my livelihood, but I also want to be myself and say what I want to say.
Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, like where is that?
So I don't know the line, honestly.
Yeah, so, I don't know the bird's right expertise.
You don't draw the line, either, brother.
Yeah, bro. No. He starts cussing. Bro. So, yeah, we were invited to collaborate on a post that I thought was hilarious, funny. But I ended up accepting the collaboration by texting me. I'm like, do you think this is too far? Mm-hmm. Like, will it make some of these people that we contract with upset? And then basically not work with us anymore. So we had a long discussion via text. And
I mean, yeah, it was a few texts back and forth.
But that's a long discussion for me.
Engaged discussion. Yeah,
you're engaged.
It was a serious one, though.
Yeah.
Like, we don't text seriously a lot.
Yeah.
So ultimately, and correct me if I'm wrong, me had said, hey, if it's going to cost something, is this something we want to really push? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And so for me, we ended up keeping it up because I felt like I shouldn't be, and by when I say I mean extracted, right? Us. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be muzzled because we might lose like some income.
Right.
So anyway, I just think it's a, like I struggle with that, where to draw the line and where not to. Because there's things I want to say on here that I know, if I say it, I'm probably going to get
say,
it.
Just tell me.
Just send it.
Yeah, that's what I should do, is write it to you, write it down, yeah. And yeah, just have you say it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if like respectfully disagree is the right term, but I think that
don't you dare disagree with me.
I think that
I'm always right.
Yeah. Okay. The whole concept of like political correctiveness and like ideologies of businesses and virtue signaling and what everybody believes, that's great. Whatever. I think that it's always been that way. And people who think alike always gravitate toward another, but what we have now is like a global society. So now you have the ability to engage and interact with people who are from different areas, backgrounds, disciplines, whatever. So it is much more inflamed and sensitive now. But I mean, since the beginning of time, you've had like as a community or as a business, you would probably work with like-minded, similar businesses. But the difference is if they'd be down the road from you, it wouldn't be very diverse from you
in any way.
So I think that it's just more inflamed now. And then you have social media and the internet and everybody being butthurt about everything all the time. So I think it is more inflamed now, but I think just, I don't think that's a new concept of working with people that you agree with on certain things and that you don't, and then not working with people that you don't agree with on certain things. Like, I don't think that's a new concept. I think it's just more inflamed now because we have a more global society and you do connect with people from different paths of life and different walks and different disciplines. So I think it is just more prevalent now that it might happen, but I don't think that's a new thing that you just kind of gravitate towards people that you think with, alike I don't think that's a new thing at all. I think it's just different in today's society.
Yeah, because it's instant. Like, as soon as, like, this post went up, they could have seen it.
Yeah, and I think that, I just think it's the fact that before it would have been a conversation across the table at Joe's Diner on Main Street, where now it's, like, on a platform of however many billion users. So it's just a bigger base of people, and I think that that's just different. Like, if you would have, back in even the 50s or something, if you would have not agreed with Harold down the street and how he, you know, what he thought about immigrants and his corn, then you probably wouldn't have done business with Harold.
Corn.
You would have moved on.
Did you say corn?
Harold has a feed store in this scenario.
Yeah, well, what are you picturing right now?
Old-fashioned standoff.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, just I don't think that this is a new concept. I think it's more inflamed and more like a sensitive because you do have the opportunity to interact with people who come from very different walks of life.
Yeah.
And so the opportunity to do business with people who are very different with you is much greater than it ever has been before.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I should say nothing has come of it, right? And I'm completely making this up in my head. I could see certain folks that we work with disagree with some of our beliefs.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. they're primarily based on the East Coast.
Yeah, East Coast. Yeah, Metro. Maybe Metro area.
Metropolitan East Coast areas.
Yeah. So, and then my follow-up question to that is, if I have to be concerned about their opinions, do I truly need to be working with these folks?
I think that would be a moment of truth situation. If that became an issue, then you would decide if their partnership and their joint venture is worth whatever you feel about the topic at hand. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that has existed since the beginning of time. It's just more inflamed and sensitive now.
Mm.
Like if Harold, again,
apparently owns a feed store.
If I couldn't get along with Harold, a corn store.
If
I could get along with Harold, then I'm not going into business with Harold.
Let me tell you something. If his name's Harold, I'm getting along with him.
Okay.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. Right. If Harold owns a feed store, we are like-minded.
I actually know a Harold.
Does he own a feed store?
No, but he's a nice guy.
You get along with him?
Greatly.
He wouldn't disagree, would he?
Nope.
Okay, should I pick a different name?
I mean, I just feel like you're just shooting at Harold.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that Harold would have been probably your joint venture guy down the road, but he probably would have came from very similar backgrounds and mm-hmm. would have gladly interacted in business with you. But I think that just because of the globalness of our society...
We're all connected.
Yes, and the ability to interact with people that we never probably would have ever interacted with before leads to all these different societal dynamics that sometimes can be sensitive in nature if we let them be. So I think that would have been a moment of truth issue. If that particular post had become an issue, then we would have had to decide if we wanted to continue this relationship or if we didn't, based off of this belief that in no other way, shape, or form that we probably would ever have to talk about.
Yeah.
Because Harold probably would agree.
Yeah. My hard-headedness, if someone ever said something like that, would have said, get the F out. I don't need you.
Okay, well, it doesn't have to be inflamed. If you say, okay, well, then we just disagree on this.
Okay, then... maybe wouldn't have said, get the F out would have been my official terminology. Okay. But I would have said, no, if you can't respect my opinions enough to separate business and, you know, opinions, then I don't want to work with you.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's completely fair. I just think that it's more of an issue in today's society because of the ability to interact with people that we have nothing in common with.
Mm. So going back to a topic I think Bird brought up, should we bring back duels, public duels?
That'd be sweet.
Can you imagine having a duel?
I think you should bring it back, and not only bring it back, but apply it to social media as well. Talk smack on social media, you can immediately be geo-tracked to a duel situation.
Well, nice. So here's how it would work in my mind. Where there would be a law passed that said you could have a duel.
Uh-huh.
And if you were challenged to a duel, you had to accept it.
Mm.
And if you didn't accept it, there were serious consequences for that.
That was never the rule with duels, though. So what? It would modify the rules of duels.
Yeah, because I think it would stop. Yeah, precisely. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So it would stop a lot of this nonsense of, you know, talking smack all the time because you're going, shit, if they challenge me to a duel, this is bad.
That's true.
I either have to accept it and move forward with a duel, which I could lose, or there's consequences for not accepting the duel.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you think the consequences would be?
I don't know.
You used to be able to, like, so you could, if they challenge you to a duel and you did not want to duel, you would rescind what you had originally said and basically, like, lose a bit of whatever manliness you had.
Okay, I'm cool with that.
That was the
kind of a little bit of pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take the pride away.
You would hit with a pride because you would say, okay, right, I was being an ass or whatever.
Okay, maybe that would be the punishment is you have to rescind publicly, by the way.
Yes, it had to be a republic suspension, but like, yes, but if you stood by it, then yeah, we're dueling. If you stood by what you said, then yeah, you guys are shooting.
God, can you imagine? I'm not saying it's got to be a shooting duel. It could really be any duel that, you know, you wanted to do. It could be
a duel of the Zen pouch.
God, I'm just yakking everywhere. Yeah, dude. I would rescind it.
You're done.
I would rescind it immediately. Dude, you're sleeping. You're sleeping with Zen with 12 mg's in your freaking lip, man. Dude, I can barely handle one mg. Okay, well, that's what I got.
Yeah, and that's just my stance on it, is that everybody can believe what they want to believe and, you know, do business as part of that. But I think that the reason why it's such a hot topic right now is because we have the ability to interact with people we have nothing in common with, and yet we still try to and get surprised when it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's our own fault as a society of like, oh, let me ask this hippie from California what he thinks about corporal punishment and get surprised when he disagrees with me.
Mm-hmm. Can we also say that Smee's a hippie?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just so we're all clear here.
Our little studio hippie.
Yeah.
See, we have a great dynamic. We have me and Bird, who are talented, squared away.
Always on
top. Yes. Always on Zen. Have a really great foundation. Then you have Smee, who's a hippie.
Mm-hmm. She brings us down a little bit, but
yeah,
mm-hmm.
We carry the weight
for it. You're surprised by this.
Yeah, every time.
Every single time.
All right. You ready for FTs?
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah, you tell me. How's that been, like, Zen pouch going?
I'm ready to get it out of my lip, which is why I'm pushing FTs right now.
Okay, that's fine.
You were ready to get it out to put another one.
No, God, no. Absolutely not. No. This is my I wouldn't want to say second Zen pouch, but this is my 1.5 Zen pouch. I'm done.
Like 1 in 1
1 in 1/8.
Yeah, I was gonna say time wise, up to an hour.
I feel like it's falling apart in my mouth.
That a boy.
That's when it's getting good.
That's when you put another one in there, hold it together.
No, dude. Absolutely not.
Dude, let's get them butts corded.
No, man. I got to go to sleep here in a minute. All right, Smee, final thoughts. Let's hear it go.
I think it was a good conversation. It was pretty serious.
We were.
Sober Bird.
Dude, I came swinging on this one, just so you guys know.
Yeah.
I came swinging.
The serious topic?
Yeah. Wow, I was sober for it.
Sober Bird. Really deliver.
Yeah.
See, did I deliver good
you
on
did.
This one?
You did.
Dude.
I'm
getting drunk tonight.
Yeah, in celebration. Yeah, Silver Bird.
No, I think it was a good conversation. There's lots of random topics. I feel bad that you have people in your industry that are being told not to do their job and being ashamed of their job. I think that is detrimental in any industry, especially one that requires a lot of grit, if you will, to keep going. So I think that's unfortunate. I think that probably a symptom of the culture right now within the industry. Those are just fallouts from poor leadership, and I think that's sad. I'm sorry that exists, and I hope that they keep going and you guys find a reason to do it every day, because it needs to be done. So hang in there.
Mm.
Gotta be done.
Mm. Mm. Nice. Mm. All right, Bird FTs, what you got? Sober Bird FTs. Remember when we first started doing this? He'd be so drunk, he'd grab the mic, and we had to edit out all these like drag sounds.
I have matured. No, I think my FTs are good topics, good combo.
Mm-hmm.
We had some good conversation about kind of leadership. And it's really kind of what Smee was saying. It's pretty unfortunate that individuals are making other people feel down. Just don't make people feel down. Lift people up.
Yeah.
Just
build bridges, baby.
Be cool and stop being a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You can bleep that if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it in.
But no. So if you are doing that, making people feel down, you need to do a self evaluation, because that's not cool.
You're a coward.
And you can lick these nuts.
Nice.
No, but for real, love you guys. Even if you are bringing people down, still love you. Thanks for doing
it. Also, work on yourself.
Also, maybe look in the mirror every now and then. Do a self-eval. But if you're just out there being a positive guy or girl, bringing the spirits up, keep doing your thing. We need more people like you. And thanks for tuning in. Love you, bye.
Nice. I'm going to close it out. So it may not mean much. What's that?
It's going to be hard to top that.
Yeah, dude. I just hit stop. Nothing to it. So it doesn't mean much, or may not mean much, but I will say that we support you and we appreciate what everybody does. And it's extremely sad that you're put in these positions where you should even question what you're doing. But, yeah, keep on keeping on. And again, we support you. I appreciate you guys listening and always do what's right. At the end of the day, you're the one's got to hang your hat up and, reflect on your career or the shift or whatever it may be. So always do the right thing. It's never the wrong time to do the right thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you guys. Keep on keeping on, whether you're on days, nights. I hope you guys have a good shift. I hope you guys stay safe. And chase cars, not promotions. Peace!
That showbiz, baby.